What's up, everybody? You already start before the podcast starts. Oh, gosh. Anyway, guys, what's good? It's your girl, Edith Yolanda. Thank you again for tuning in to Cosmos and Cognac with a dash of the goddamn truth. Today, I have Ashley C. Why are you looking like that?
Mike just gave me this look.
Mike always giving somebody a damn look when they talking. What did I say wrong this time, Mike?
Oh, wow. Not what did I say wrong. Not family disputes in front of the guests.
No, we gonna put it all out on the table. I don't care who's listening. No. What did I say now, Mike?
We have a guest, dear.
Whatever. Ashley, say hello to the people.
Hi.
Hi. And to the left of me, Mr. Michael Doc.
Where's the gentleman? How y'all doing?
Oh, God.
And see, and this is why.
He's so extra.
It's the Wednesday gentleman.
Don't hate.
Oh, the love connection.
Don't hate.
On V103.
Hey, if I get one.
Oh,
hey.
That lady. Too young to be listening to that.
Oh, Joyce Littell, she got a sexy voice. Yes.
And then she would be like, tonight we're talking about.
Oh, yes. Come on, Joyce.
Capricorn.
Ooh.
I was too young.
But guys, I'm so excited because I have one of my besties with me today. And I just would like to introduce. It's the wine.
You're not even drinking wine, so
I don't know what it is.
The audience, let that sink in.
Child, whatever. I've been working all day. Okay, I would like to introduce. Is that better? The KM Experience, child. Oh, ain't that sexy?
That does sound sexy.
Mr. Kelvin Myers.
Let me say it. The KM Experience.
Ooh!
I like that shit. Yeah. I like that shit.
Good. What up, Kelvin?
What up? Yeah. It's a pleasure to be in the mix.
We're going to have Michael introduce him every time.
Okay.
When you go on stage every for your time. Little...
whatever it is.
We need to introduce...
Coming to the stage.
Ooh.
Right.
That KM.
It is the KM Experience.
That's right. That's so good.
That's right, Danny.
Thank you for inviting me. Yes, we're gonna have a great show. We have so much to talk about. Last week, if you didn't check us out, we had a great show, but this week is gonna be even better. We get better and better every time.
That's good.
I'm just saying, it's always room for improvement.
I mean, really, if you're not getting better, why do it?
Ooh, that part.
No, that's real.
It is real. So we had a lot. Did everybody survive the coronas?
We here.
Everybody good?
Let me just talk
about this, and I'm only going to say this once. We have had a lot of people nationwide being affected with the coronavirus. However, 9 people in the state of Georgia have died from the basic ass flu. So that means that we still just need to, and this is another thing that has been so funny because they're saying that all the stores have been sold out on hand sanitizer. However, soap is in abundance. So,
wash your ass.
What is going on? Why are we sold out of hand sanitizer, but we are not sold out of soap?
Because people use the sanitizer as like...
Wash your hands.
Soap. Or something.
Your hands still be feeling nasty
but
after like
you
use a hand sanitizer.
Like that over like...
It's nasty.
Completely dirty hands. So like you have to wash your hands.
It's nasty.
And then maybe if you touch a couple things...
Even after I put on... Like if I haven't washed my hands... Because you know... Me and you, Kelvin and I, we do a lot of, you know, makeup application.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in between doing with the hand sanitizer, my hands still feel dirty. In between clients. So I just go and wash my hands. I tell my clients, excuse me, let me take a moment to wash my hands and I'll be right back. And they're like, yes, thank you. Right. So we're going to do that. We're going to tell people to wash your hands. And also be advised that HIV and AIDS is still very prevalent. Y'all worried about the coronas, but y'all still fucking without a condom. Hello?
Well, we'll be right back.
Everybody worried about the coronas, but ain't nobody scared about the HIV.
So wait a minute.
Child, please.
You know I'm a very visual person. Yeah. So I have to just say this. That little sidebar just reminded me of the movie Wrong Turn.
Everybody was saying,
where did that come
baby,
from?
Y'all out here talking about people sneezing and coughing, and yet y'all still fucking without rubbers. Get it together, people.
And after these messages, we'll be back.
And on that note, seriously, we will be back. It's the day with the Cosmos and the Kodak.
The Cosmos seem like they taking over.
Oh, what do you mean by that? See? Whatever.
See what we have to go through.
Bye.
She's a professional.
Okay. Next topic.
Look at this.
Next topic. Listen, guys, we got a lot on Word on the Street. I don't know what we're going to tackle first, but I feel that we should just go ahead and let the people know what's going on in the polls. By the way, Georgia, you can early vote. I'm just putting it out there. Don't wait till the last minute. If you know that you have a busy lifestyle or schedule, go ahead and vote. We have two front runners. We have Bernie and Biden, Sanders and Biden, Bernie and Biden. So we got two white men for y'all to choose. Any, mini, money, mo, catch a cracker by itself. Okay.
Now we're moving on to the next topic.
No.
Fuck.
No. No. That too. No.
Wait a minute. Wait. Did you want this podcast to be picked up?
Right.
All right. So, listen. Look, I've heard worse. Listen, we got something to talk about that is very, very serious. And that lets me further go into why I really don't have much to say about who is running for what. Because we have an innocent black man that was convicted and murdered. I don't care what anybody says about, you know, him being a drug dealer or him being at the wrong place at the wrong time. I feel like an innocent man was murdered. And anybody care to discuss this topic? We have Nathaniel Woods, who, and this is, to be honest, I didn't really hear about this until listening to the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Mm-hmm. And they had, his name just slipped my mind just like that. You talked about him last week. It was the guy that does all of the front running for like activists. What's his name? Light skinned guy that everybody was talking
Sean
about.
King.
Sean King. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sean King was on the morning show with Ricky Smiley. And so from what I understand is that Nathaniel Woods was in a drug bust with one of his other friends. His friend, they ended up coming, the police came in, barged in. The warrant that they busted in the house, the drug house was for unpaid tickets. They sprayed Nathaniel Woods in the face with pepper spray. And Nathaniel Woods' friend shot four police officers. Nathaniel Woods went out of the house and went over to a neighbor's house and sat on the porch while all of this was going on, and had nothing to do with the shooting of the police officers. Even his friend said that he had nothing to do with it. He acted on his own. But however, if you're in a situation like that, they can still convict you. That's from what I understand. It is law that they can convict you as being an accessory to the crime. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. They put him on death row, and his fate was sealed this past week. So a lot of people were trying to get it overturned because he absolutely did not shoot any of the police officers.
Right.
But they saw fit to murder him. The governor did not give him clemency, so he is now expired. What say you?
I don't think people, period, should be putting anyone in a grave, period. Whether you're a judge, the jury, the all, whatever, whether it's crime on the street, people should not be...
You're against the death penalty.
Yeah. Like, I'm against killing people anyways.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
It's all wrong.
I mean, I'm just asking.
Just because... No. Like, we're not God.
Okay. So you're
against the death penalty. So who gave you... Why do you have more power over... Like, no. Okay. No. He can kill a million people. Yes, that was wrong. But... You get to kill him because he killed a million people? What?
That's like an eye for an eye. She makes
a
point.
Well, okay. I don't think that's right. But let's be clear, you guys. That's not a new concept. Like, that's been going on forever.
It has.
Like, so here's the deal. I have my feelings about the death penalty, you know. Because our judicial system here, our laws in this country is so flawed.
Right.
You know, I'm mostly against it because I feel like they decide to exercise it on whom they want to exercise it
right.
on.
That part.
And it's not always checks and balances or proper checks and balances to make sure that the
that
right
part.
Decisions or good decisions are being made.
Okay.
Because what we do know is that injustice is built into systemically into our laws and into our judicial system here in the United States. So that will be one of the reasons why I'm against it. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that I mean, I'm a little bit militant, but there are times where I feel like if we went back to old law where you did public stonings and eye for an eye and cutting off fingers and things of that nature, it would really keep down crime. Although that sounds very harsh, but it worked and it still works in other countries. And other cultures today. Mm-hmm. Now, but because crime and violence in the United States is big business, they're never really truly fighting to stop crime. That's just an illusion that they present to us that they're fighting crime, but they're not. It's big business, and that's how a lot of them make money.
And I'm gonna say this because I've been saying this also. You have a lot of white people out here that are saying that they are pro-life because they still want to see Black people poor and disenfranchised so that they can keep up a system of having pretty much free slavery.
Okay, let me really give you the tea on that.
Okay.
And what the tea is, tea, do we know what tea means?
We know what the tea is.
Oh, Lord.
Caucasian Americans are very concerned with pro-life right now because by a certain year in the near future, with the way things are going, they will become the minority in the United States. So they're really more concerned about that, and that is to be able to stay the majority and not the minority. Another thing that has been uncovered in all of these studies is that the majority of the abortions that have been occurring here in the United States, contrary to popular belief, have been from white women and not Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've regretfully had to admit that just recently. So really that pro-life, because, and they're reared like that. What I think that we need to also understand, especially when it comes to Black family and white family or Caucasian family, whatever you want to call it, from children, they're reared to believe a thing and to stand behind a thing.
Okay.
And these concepts for their race.
Okay.
And they might not say, oh, this is for our race. But they instill these things and they go on from generation to generation. And that's something that we as people of color
don't have
in the United States, we do not do.
We don't have a legacy. We don't have our history.
Well, we don't, and we no longer, because we've tried to assimilate with them for so long, we have left all of our traditions and all of our things that we would, you know, pass down from generation to generation, because we're so busy trying to be accepted by them. And I'm not really sure why we always want to be in a place where we're not wanted.
Yeah. Wow. And to be honest, because Kelvin and I are both from South Carolina, and what one of the things that was really a big issue was back home where I'm from, there was a lot of basket weaving that took place in the Charleston area. And they were saying how basket weaving is no longer, you know, a thing anymore because everybody has lost that tradition. Also, a lot of black people have lost a lot of their land back home because white people have bought out their land and made it resorts, made it high-end communities, and now black people don't have their land anymore. So, I mean, we could go on and on and on about, you know, why I said what I said about the presidential nominees. But no, let's just be honest. All these years we've had a president that has really done nothing for us. Like, we have not seen not near reparation. I don't think we will ever see it. Right now, you have a president that is trying to get the black vote by talking about the criminal justice system. So he goes and puts up a million some odd dollar commercial during the Super Bowl. But we all know that he is not for the blacks. It's just a facade.
We just need to pull together. If we took care of us, then we wouldn't be begging, oh, please accept us, master, please accept us. No, I don't need you to fucking accept me. I have my own money. We're taking over. We're taking care of each other.
I still want my shit, though.
The Black Wall Street. I'm not asking them for shit. We should come together.
It's what they owe us, Mike.
Well, but here's the thing. How long are we going to sit around begging for or expecting them to give us what they owe us?
Right.
And in the big scheme of things, what we need to also understand is that if they ever did that, that would be a huge step in saying, you know, we're wrong.
We were wrong.
We're horrible people, and that there's a difference between us and them. They're not going to do that.
They're not
going to do that. And so we need to just really go ahead and erase that. But just like Mike was saying, if we learn how to stick together. Now, here's what I also say. And again, this is probably a little bit on the extreme side as well for a lot of people. Maybe for some of the listeners, is that we can only truly get together and unify once we separate.
And what do you mean by that?
create your own nation, create your own nationalism. So, like, for instance, when you hear people talking about the Moors,
mm-hmm.
okay, the Moors is a nationality,
mm-hmm.
okay, it is the nationality, and a lot of us who live here in the United States actually belong to that nationality, and we don't even know it.
Okay.
But when you are creating your own stuff, then you're not dependent upon other people. Even when, because see what happens, and it's historically in this country, is when people of color get together and unify and do great things, they tear it down.
They tear it down always. They burn it down. Yeah, Black absolutely.
Right. As you know, i.e. Black Wall Street. But it's been several communities, you know, actually the right where Central Park sits in New York was a very elite black community
absolutely.
That they also burnt down. So see, people don't know the history. Everybody always talks about, oh, you've been to, you know, Central Park this and Central Park that. Central Park has a history
with
of
all our blacks.
Absolutely.
And they have a house still that's still up about that. But a lot, again, we don't know about these things because they don't want to give us.
Well, and we need to not expect them to give us anything. We need to be making our own, like, say for instance, this even goes back, and I don't know whether we're staying on task, but this goes back to education. It is our responsibility to educate our children. We can't expect them to do it. You mm-hmm. understand?
Yes.
We're inside of a matrix, and so it's our job. When you realize that you're in a matrix, and you, once you've learned to be able to navigate in that matrix, is to teach other people how to do it. Some people are going to receive it and some people are not, you know, and that is just something that, you know, we have to be okay with and move on to the next. You can only help people who want to be helped.
And you know what, Kelvin, I'm glad that you say that, because I feel like right now this is a good segue into our next topic, because a lot of our history and who we are has been lost due to religion and the church.
Absolutely.
So, be honest, I really, like, I had this conversation with my mother, and I told my mother, I said, you know, so much of our history and everything has been lost because we have been taught in the church to hide certain things or not to speak on certain things because those things were not holy. We wanted to make it like, you know, this person lived a pristine life. And so a lot of things have gone that was really our history. Today we're realizing that was really something that made certain people strong was kind of buried and hidden away because they didn't want anybody to know certain things because of the Bible and religion. Mm-hmm. And so when we are on Facebook, I was on Facebook the other day and I was like, what is this sage burning? What is going on? Because that was just the topic of everybody's discussion was right. Sage, Pastor Jamal.
So you guys, just because I know we've jumped from one thing to another, just so you know, Pastor Jamal Bryan was on Facebook, or there's a interview.
Hold on. I got what he said. You want to hear what he said?
Well, no, I just didn't want to tell you what he's talking about. Okay. But he did say he is, you know, basically saying burning sage is witchcraft.
Basically.
And so anyway, so we just kind of want to talk about what your thoughts are about that.
He said, calling sage burning witchcraft and satanic aromatherapy.
Good evening.
So, I mean, because Ashley, you're Jamaican. So, I'm just saying, and Mike, you're a PK. So, what saith you two?
My dad ain't never crossed that bridge about burning sage. He just get people to pay tithes.
I'm done. I'm done.
The truth is the light, and it shall make
you
free.
Well, I mean, hey. So it was said, this is just a quote, so that, because I don't want anybody to say that we misquoted him. And he said, I was amazed because two saints gave me sage for my new house. I didn't know what to do with it. I was unsure of it, and all the more why they feel comfortable giving it to a pastor. Then I began to research and study it and found out that the sales have gone up by over 200% in the last 4 years and have to be constantly replaced or restocked in natural health stores. After researching the practice, however, Bryant has concluded that it is a demonic new age practice that Christians should not be involved in.
New age?
Yes. He said another word for burning sage is smudging. The thought of Native Americans is that certain herbs carry spirits in them. And when you burn certain herbs, you're calling those spirits to dispel evil or vexing spirits or energies from space, from an object or a person. Well, which also, it's very confusing to me because I see like Pastor Jamal and these mega, you know, churches and these people who are of, you know, like the holiness faith and everything. And they're wearing these long robes and these Catholic, you know, collars, these bishop collars and stuff like that. And to me, it's like they're mimicking the Catholic Church. And as we all know, the Catholics use frankincense in their little bell thing while they're walking down the aisle. They also do exorcisms where they throw water on people who they feel have demons in them. So what's the difference?
Who want to tell me where you want to get started?
Where to start?
I'm just trying to figure out how that one is good for the goose, but it ain't good for the gander.
I just know my family been burning sage.
Okay.
Well, okay, so let's talk about some history.
Okay, let's talk. Let's break it down.
Well, first of all, I don't know what type of research that he's done because there's nothing new age about burning sage.
Okay.
So that's first of all. I do apologize.
Okay.
All right. Secondly, the Roman Catholic Church is what really birthed the New Age Christianity that everybody that we know of are running around here saying that they're Christians. It comes from the Roman Catholic Church. And so if you go into any Roman Catholic Church right now, they're either burning sage or frankincense. Let's also talk about the story of Jesus, which we know his name was not Jesus, but okay. The wise men brought him frankincense and myrrh, which were very valuable items at that time for many reasons. Let's also talk about what energy and spirits and all of that is. Spirits are energy.
Okay.
Energy never dies. Mm. Okay? So what negative spirits or, you know, whatever you want to call it, it is like negative energy, stagnant energy that has been sitting around. Sage happens to be a purifier, and the ions in sage help to clear out any negative, stagnant energy.
Okay.
If you want to call that a spirit, then you call that a spirit.
Okay.
Okay, but we do know that if you say that you are a Christian, so that would mean you should be at least elementarily educated about spirits,
and we know spirits are real. We know spirits are alive. So, however, what are you calling these spirits out from? Like, my whole thing is that I don't believe that people who burn sage or, you know, because I've been brought up like this. Like, it's so crazy because I was telling my mom, because my mother was trying to tell me, you know, well, that is in the Old Testament. And I said, Mom, when you walk into our house, I'm being real. When you walk into our house, my mother has a Bible on the little thing. She has praying hands. And then sometimes she'll just throw salt in the corner. I'm like, we have been brought up, like, this is stuff that my aunt just brought me some tea, because I said, my cramps are, we're not gonna cut the roots on this time because this is poisonous, but you can drink it during this time because it's a full moon and cut your hair during the full, like, y'all doing the same thing that they're talking about against in the church.
But that's just people running their mouths, and when you don't do a thing, so see, what probably happened is when the folks gave him the sage, so you seen the little meme that's going around, like, it says, if you don't want to come to my house because I burn sage, that means the sage is working.
Okay.
So what I want to say is, when the children, when the folks that go to your church,
who
that gave him the sage?
Oh, okay, right.
When the sisters, the missionaries,
gave him the sage,
and he opened up that sage, it started working immediately.
Damn.
Yep.
So first of all, let's also talk about this. Like, historically, sage just has been around even before what we know Christianity to be has been around. Right. It predates any Christian practice that you could possibly even think of.
I believe it.
Okay? So that's the research that he should have been doing. So of course, being that Christianity is a religion and burning sage is a cultural
difference. Cultural.
It's
when you think about it, who tried to kill our culture? You have people who tried to kill our culture.
Well, what you found is that you have a lot of, you know, Caucasian Americans or Caucasian or Europeans that when they saw these traditions that people of color that in Africa or in Haiti or Jamaica that they did and they practiced, they saw that it worked and that it was effective.
Ha-ha.
However, they didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand it. So in what I don't understand, I'm gonna demonize it.
That part.
Because see, if we get all these people over here in the United States, people of color in the United States to understand that these traditions that their ancestors have already done and have done for many, many years gives them a certain sense of power.
Come on.
So we're gonna make you think that all these little mystical things that your grandparents have passed down to you, is demonic.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Jamal Bryan, unfortunately, this is just my opinion, he falls under that umbrella.
It's sad. It is very unfortunate.
I think he's, and this is my take on it, I honestly think that he's poorly educated on the matter in regards to the sage burning. My grandmother, bless her soul, she was one when we needed, like if we had an ailment or whatever, I know she went under the cabinet. And she got whatever.
Them roots.
And she
mixed it with whatever.
Whatever.
Them other roots.
I'm just gonna say this because this is how I feel about it. Now I had an issue. I think something got in my eye, whatever. was closing my eyes, was becoming blind. Ooh. She went under her cabinet. I'll never forget it so long as I live. Put this stuff on my eyes, prayed.
Come next on, day, prayer.
Eyes open.
See.
Glory. Look at God.
So witchcraft, whatever. I know what she did.
She had the roots of Jesse.
And I want to go back to talking about why and when that word witchcraft got really popular.
So, I mean, when we talk about stuff that we really don't know, I mean, I honestly just wish people would just be quiet. He could have just said, you know, told the parishioners that, hey, I don't feel comfortable with it. I thank you for the gift, so on and so forth, and that be done with it. Not have it come out in a sermon or whatever that this is wrong, and you tell the people that it's wrong. Now you want to tell your congregation, we're not going to do this. If you're not educated on the matter, seek counsel before you tell the people all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you're leading them in the wrong direction. Right.
Somebody said it was a publicity stunt.
To do what?
I mean, because if you have known Pastor Jamal, he has done quite a few things to get publicity and to get news. Like right now, after the coronavirus broke out, now he's in the news talking about how he's giving to the food pantry, how he has hand sanitizer at his church, how he's doing this for the coronavirus. As you know, he had Kanye West. Now my whole thing is, how are you gonna have Jesus in your pulpit, which is supposed to be a holy altar, and he has no pastoral backings to anything. You got him all up in there singing "Oh Happy Day" to a hip hop beat, but you don't want nobody to burn no damn sage. I just don't know what's going on.
It's a censor.
Yes, honey. If you need, right.
I have this filter.
Because Ashley has a bougie kitchen. But oh, Kelvin, what were you saying about witchcraft? Like, where did that come from?
Okay, so. Predating, again, Christianity, you even have people in Europe, groups of people like the Druids.
Yeah.
That also practice these practices, these spiritual practices. They were part of their traditions, they were part of their culture. When they all started coming over to the United States, you had those women and those people who still tried to practice their traditions mm-hmm. here, especially like up in the Boston area, okay. Salem and all of that stuff.
The Winston-Salem witches.
So, when those people were practicing their traditions and making things happen, those Protestants from England did not understand. So, instead what they did was started to call them witches and make it a negative thing. Because they did not understand those spiritual practices, and because they could not get them to work for themselves.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, that's a word I wasn't.
So, if you ever realize, like, so, you know, it goes all back to even talking about voodoo and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, voodoo is not a religion. It's a way of life.
Mm-hmm. They do that stuff in Cuba.
Yeah. I mean, they do it all over the world.
Like, it's normal.
Now,
it's good.
Here's the deal.
It's used for good. That's what it's...
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
It's all God energy. If you say you believe in God and you know what God is and who God is, it's all God energy. Now, how you decide to manipulate it, how you decide to use it, that is when it begins
Whether
it's witchcraft or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to call it. But when you think about even in Christianity, you have people who misuse Christianity and that religion all the time. And
absolutely.
They have been doing it since the beginning of Christianity. And let's also begin to put some things into perspective. Like the Bible that we read, the King James Version, was put together. Let's not even say written. Put together 200 to 300 years after the death of who we know Christ to be.
Okay.
There was no Christianity. Christ was a Jew. It was Judaism. And if you go into their temples, they also burn.
Everybody burn his faith. Child. Listen.
My family been burning sage.
I mean, and to be honest, this is why I feel that we as Black people need to actually, we need to really find out what our history is.
We need to know who we are, and we need to not just stop at the books, that the history books that we get here in the United States or in school, in the public education. We got to seek other things. We got to seek other writings. But wait a minute, guys. I know this is a sidebar, but you know, sometimes you got to share stuff. Wait a minute. I was doing some research for the girls. We was going to do this little Black history thing with Toni Morrison.
Ooh.
Come on, and it's so off subject, but the power of what she said, I just want to share it. Hold on.
Okay.
If I can find
Do y'all know who Toni Morrison is? Mm-hmm. I'm just asking.
Do you not?
It's a lot of people who don't know who Toni Morrison is.
I can't find my pictures.
But in the meantime, while he is getting that, guys, I just really want to just reiterate that it's a need. I mean, we can't really demand any type of respect from any other race of people if we don't respect our own. And if we don't really do the research and do the work and do the legwork into finding out. My whole thing with our community is like this. If we don't agree with something, we demonize it. And I feel that sometimes we have to accept people for who they are and just go on and move on with it. Like, if that's what you do, that's what you do. But that's not what I do. But I still respect you for who you are as a human being. But don't ask me to conform to what you do. That's just what you do. I'm not going to demonize you. I'm not going to disrespect you. But that's what you do. I don't have to do it. So if Pastor Jamal does not want to burn sage, hey, he doesn't have to. So be it. But you do not have to demonize me because I do. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm going to leave it. Until Kelvin can go and get his pictures up.
Listen. Right. This is what you get when you got a rattly old phone.
We're going to take a break and we'll come back to that, Kelvin. But we really wanted to. The reason why I brought Kelvin here was because I really wanted to bridge a gap between the LGBT Q community and the Black community. So I really want you guys to stay tuned and let us have this. Let's open this conversation up so that we can grow stronger as a community. We'll be right back after this break. Yeah, I hear roofing people. All right, guys.
That's how she decided to come
back. All right. All right, candy coated nights. You done probably got a whole basement of.
Okay.
What is in the dungeon?
We're going to redo this segment.
What? No, I swear, like, whatever.
Can you clear my name, please?
Okay, Ashley gave me a wine cocktail that was strong.
And did it have a roofie in it? You didn't clear it up.
Okay, she didn't roofie me, but I do feel a little lightweight.
Okay.
She just a lightweight.
Thank you.
I don't really drink anymore, guys. She
but then instead of just saying I don't drink that much,
but y'all should
make Ashley look like.
But you should have known something
Bill
was
Cosby
up. First of all, y'all should have known something was up when I couldn't get the name of the podcast right. When I couldn't say introduce, I said introduce. I was, you know, I'm a little tipsy. Shut up, Ashley. Okay, moving on. Mm. Listen, Mike. Really, Mike. Really?
Where are we going?
Listen, we're now at our main topic. Now, this is one of the reasons why. Okay, so Kelvin called me, and I thought that it was just amazing that he called me on the day that he did, because I was like, yo, I really want Kelvin to be on the show. I feel like, can I tell him how we... Okay, so I met Kelvin when I was working at Bloomingdale's, and we were automatically drawn to each other. Mm-hmm. So then he asked me, he said, Miss Yolanda, where are you from? That's exactly how he said it.
Oh, wow.
Miss Yolanda, where are you from? And I looked at him and I said, I'm from a place in South Carolina you don't even know. He said, Miss, where in South Carolina? And I said, Utahville. He said, I'm from Sumter, South Carolina. So, like, automatically we were kind of, like, connected that way. And then one year, my mom, this was before, like, we first moved to Georgia. And my mom is from a very small place in South Carolina, and really, it's no diversity. Mm-hmm. And when my mother came to Georgia, I had to tell my mama, stop looking at people that are different like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom would see, like, and I'd be like, Mom, that's a girl. And she'd be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Mom, that's a boy. They identify. So one year, Kelvin, I don't know how Kelvin came over to the house or whatever, but my mom was having Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And my mother said, like, it was only, I think it was Kelvin and my cousin there, and then, like, the children and a lot of
this
women.
This is the one that prayed.
This is the one who prayed. My mom would be talking about you, child. Okay, so.
What kind of prayer?
So let me tell you. So this was crazy because my mom for Thanksgiving usually has a lot of people.
Right.
She made, you know, my mama cooks. Mm-hmm. And so usually my mama prays. But my mother, Kelvin, was the only man at the time in the house. Mm-hmm. And my mother said that the Holy Spirit told her to ask Kelvin to pray.
Oh, wow, right.
When my mother asked Kelvin to pray, he evoked, talking about them spirits. He invoked the Holy Spirit. My mother was in tears after he prayed.
Oh, wow.
So now my mother is like, this is my son, you know, this is my boy. Every time we have something, like for her 70th birthday, he was there. Like, my mother loved him. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that there is such a disconnect with the African-American community and the gay community because we want to stay ignorant to the fact of there being different people and including them. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was amazing. And Kelvin just, he said, because I was trying to get him to come next week. He's like, no, let's do it this week.
Right.
So when he decided to come and let's have this conversation, I was like, I want to have it with him because I know that he will, number one, speak on it intelligently. Number two, he will bring light to certain people. Mm-hmm. And number three, I think that this is going to be a beginner type of forum for us to kind of unite with one another. So thank you, brother, for coming.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
I still want to know about this prayer, bro.
I mean,
Let me say this. There are a few things that God has gifted me with being great at doing. And, you know, and as a very independent child that comes from an abusive background, if I didn't learn how to do one thing, I learned how to pray. Mm.
Mm. That's true.
I wish my little thing would work.
He tried so hard to get this church music. So this is my thing, right? Because and we've had this conversation before. You know, I have two nephews that are gay, and I've always been inclusive. Like, you're not going to X out my nephews. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to X out my niece. You're not going to X out my best friend because of their preference. Okay, now the way that I was brought up that, you know, this is a wrong thing to be.
Right.
Like, if this is who you are, you need to put that away, pray on it, pray the gay away.
Yeah, pray it away.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how I was brought up. But then coming and growing up, and even now my mother realizing that these are people. We are not to judge these people. You know how many people back home still feel like they should do harm to gay people? Like, it's still a big thing. And so I just want to, you know, really bring some type of awareness and try to really bridge a gap because, you know, we have a lot of people in the church that are gay.
Of course.
We have a lot of people, you know. Yeah. And I really want, because right now what I feel like, it seems like there's this battle between, you know, gay men being in the closet and women having an issue with, you know, gay men being in the closet or gay men or men who are bisexual. I've heard so many times, and to be honest, I've even said it, you know, if you like penis, you like penis. But I know that there's some men who like women and men.
You find because that you don't agree? You don't think that?
I just feel like he's gay, but he wants to put on the facade of...
Why can't you like both? Do you like chocolate and vanilla? Or you only like... No, I'm not telling you the answer. I'm just saying.
No.
I can like both.
I mean, hey.
Well, I don't have to just like apples. Well, I can like bananas too.
I think that this is a, you know, it's great to have a discussion. Yeah. Now, my perspective is you can like both. But I do believe that we all have a preference.
We always.
That there's a preference. So like, for instance, I do like chocolate and I do like vanilla.
But you like what?
But I prefer
vanilla. That part. Right, no, and I agree. But what I'm saying is you can't just say, I just think you're gay because you... Like,
now, here's the thing.
What about the women who like both?
Here's the thing.
You think she's what?
Gay?
Yeah.
Why though? That's what I'm saying. You can't say that.
Okay,
well,
good.
Let's get technical.
Okay.
Because of terms and categories, if you're having sex with both sexes, then you're bisexual. And there may be something about both sexes that fancy you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that you usually prefer over the other. There's one that you're a little more passionate about. There's one that sits deeper in your spirit.
Okay.
Than the other. Now, coming from what she's saying and her idea about that is you do just have a lot of people who are actually gay, but because they, in their minds, they feel like if I have sex with, you know, the opposite sex, then I'm not as gay, or that's not as bad, or people will accept me a little bit more because, you know, like as a guy, I still do, you know, I still get coochie, you know what I mean? Or if you are a female that has sex with both, you know, you don't actually feel like you have to say I'm a lesbian or I'm gay because, you know, I like dick too. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
So
you
like coochie and I like dick too.
You do have that. But I think that it's more important to talk about like what we initially started out with, you know, the relationship between the black community and the LGBTQ.
I?
Okay. If they add another letter every time.
We can't.
So, you know, it takes a lot of understanding. And, you know, when you go back to the word, and I hate to, you know, but it is what it is. Certain things that are in the Bible are just the truth. With all that getting, get understanding. You know, so... Our culture largely feels this way because of a lot of things that happened during colonialism and during slavery. Okay, so I had to really get, you know, I've gone to Jamaica many times and people will always ask me, like, I love the Caribbean, but Jamaica was my least favorite place in the Caribbean to visit. Mm-hmm. And that's because when I went there, they were not very friendly.
Right. They're working on it.
You know, I get it. But in me, instead of me just saying, you know, I don't like them, you know, because they don't like gay people, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I did a little research. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found out that was a huge practice in the Caribbean islands, especially Jamaicans, where the slave owners would rape the men and force the women to watch it and force the children to watch it. And that was buck breaking. And it was a huge thing that they had been doing for a very long time. And they also did it in Africa. Mm-hmm. So because of those things, it's one of the reasons why so many people of color, it's just something that's been passed down. Even some people don't even know that.
Wow.
They don't even know
it. I didn't know that.
Because their parents and their parents before them, you know, said all these negative things about gay people or about being gay. They take on that. That's just like even with Caucasian people who are Republicans, especially poor Caucasian people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why are you a Republican?
Right. That's
because
so funny to
nothing
me.
That they stand for is going to help you. But you are a Republican just because all of your ancestors were also Republican.
Okay.
So I use that as, you know, that's, so a lot of black people are that way about gays. So what's very disheartening at the same time is how we even ended up over, well, you know, there were people of color already here in the Americas before Christopher Columbus ever came. But how the slave trade was able to be successful, which hurts my heart when I think about it, is that African people thought that anything that was European was better than their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? However, inside of their own culture, if anything was different, so if you came out too light, or you had freckles, or you had red hair, Then they felt like it was some bad omen.
Yeah, you understand? And they still feel that way. Yeah,
and they you know cast you out. Mm-hmm. So same thing with being gay. Mm-hmm. You know, when people would be gay, they did the same thing. But being gay is nothing new, and it's not new under the sun.
Nothing new under
it's,
the
it's
sun.
Been going on yeah. for a very, very long time. And when people really, you know, open up their minds, and that's why I don't really do a whole lot of arguing and debating with this, because you have mm-hmm. to walk a mile in my shoes.
Right.
You know, there's still the argument where people be like, oh, you know, it's a phase you go through, or, you know, because they were raped or they were, you know, molested, they became gay. No, gay is a thing that either you are or you're not.
Okay.
You know, and that's something that you were born with.
Absolutely.
You know, now whether you act upon it is completely on you, but it's something that's in you, and it's not just about sex.
So let me ask you this, because I do know for a fact, I know a lot of young men, I've dated two guys that, you know, confess that they were molested. One was molested by a man and one was molested by a woman. And that never turned their sexuality. However, I do have a nephew that told me he knew he was gay as soon as he knew what sexuality was. He just, and to be honest, I remember telling my mom one day, because I was really young when my nieces and nephews were born. My sister had twin girls. My brother had twin boys. And so I recall, like, I was 8 years old when they were born. But I remember the twins just always being very, like, one of my twin nephews was always really feminine.
Mm-hmm.
As a, like, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Just very feminine, very sensitive. And I used to joke around with them. And I'd say, Mom, I go up to the twins. And I'd be like, boo. And they, you know, they cry and stuff like that. And I would always just, you know, play with them in that manner. And he told me, he was like, Auntie, I've always been this way. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, it's kind of like, I don't believe that it's this whole, I think that a lot, now tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like it's a lot of times it's like a cop out of a person saying, you know, oh, I was molested or I was raped. So that's what turned me gay.
Well, and I don't want to say a cop out, but in essence it can be, but it's just what some people have fixated in their minds as a reasoning. You know, we feel like we have to have a reason
to be away
something. You yes. know what I mean? And instead of just understanding, like, how some children come and they're extremely smart.
Okay.
Some children come and they're not so smart.
Absolutely.
Some children come.
But we have to accept them.
Some children come and one arm is longer than the other. You
gotcha.
Know what I mean?
Gotcha.
You know, and we know that God don't make no mistakes.
Okay.
However, you know, we are human and we're energy, and it's not a program where everything comes out the same.
Right.
Got you.
You understand?
Got you.
You have energy that you're dealing with. You have DNA that you're dealing with. You know, you're dealing with the X and the Y chromosomes, and sometimes you got a little more of the other than you got of the other.
Absolutely.
And that's how it comes out. That's how it manifests.
Okay.
You know, it's very scientific.
Uh-huh.
And just using just a tad bit of common sense, no one would choose this life when every or the majority of people tell
just
you
like
that it's wrong.
Absolutely.
Or that it's not a good thing.
Okay, yeah.
Nobody's gonna choose that. You know, now you eventually, and not everybody,
you
eventually decide to try to accept yourself.
Right.
Or sometimes you give into whatever you feel like is on the inside, and you know, you have people who struggle with it all their lives.
Yeah.
And then you have some people who accept who they are and don't give a fuck. Oh.
Child, you had Cosmos and Kanye, baby.
You fine.
You just said a whole lot worse.
Right.
So, but the reason why I'm saying this is because I feel like when I went on my timeline and I started seeing so many posts about D. Wade and him accepting his son the way that he is, It started bringing, because I was seeing it from both aspects, and I could see how those people who were for the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. were standing up for them, but they were taking it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And then I saw how people who were heterosexual and did not understand it take it to a whole new level, like Boosie saying something about cutting off the little boy's fingers stuff like that. And then I saw the LGBTQ community, you know, or people who stood for the LGBT community going to the far left. And I was like, why can't we just be in the middle? Why can't this man just be accepting his son?
That's it.
Well, because we live in a society where people want to always put things in categories and in boxes, and when we don't understand stuff, we, you know, and we're very, very opinionated about things that absolutely have nothing to do with us.
Okay. Say that. Because that's what I said last week.
You know,
this shit has nothing to do with me. No. That's just my fault.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways that people, you know, are raising children that I absolutely do not agree with. And, you know, now as you are talking about this particular situation, I'm probably inside of the LGBT community, I'm probably a minority in how I feel about this situation.
Okay.
Now,
I know a couple of people who are against it.
Well, and let me say, I need to explain that really good, because I really commend him for being able to. Because
I'm going to tell you.
To love him and to accept him and to support him. Now, here's where I draw the line.
Okay.
Because I am a gay black man, but first, I'm a black man first. Okay? He was born and brought here as a boy.
Okay.
He's just in a very effeminate boy. Mm-hmm. And when you're that age, you have sometimes an identity crisis, because when you start to deal with those emotions and those thoughts and those feelings about being gay and why you like the things that you like and why you're attracted to the things that you're attracted to, you begin to think, well, Lord, did you intend to make me a girl?
Okay,
like,
thank
because
you.
Why am I having these feelings and these thoughts?
Oh my God, thank you.
But with that being said, he is still a child. Does not know how to process those thoughts and those concepts and those ideas. As a grown parent and adult, it is your job to help kind of guide him and maneuver him through all of that, because we do know that right now, as he's 12, I think.
You cannot be making decisions so abruptly. Those are not, like
so
that,
if he
right.
told you, I want to be a killer. Mm. I want to kill for the rest of my life. Are you going to say, yes, bitch, we are supporting you in that? No. You're not. So for him to say, like, he wants to be called, his name is Zion, he wants to be called
Zaria,
and that he wants to be a girl, and you're supporting him in that, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Now, when he becomes older than 18,
right, exactly.
And he decides he still wants to do that, then that is completely up to him, because any of those things, any of those consequences, any of those outcomes, he would have to deal with at that time, because that's a personal decision that he made for himself. But as a child, you don't get to make those choices. And like, support him as what you do is you teach him you are an effeminate young black man.
Gotcha.
That's what you came here as.
Absolutely.
We're not here to change your sex because you think that you should have been a girl.
Absolutely.
Because of the feelings and the thoughts that you're having right now.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you, by the time you hit 18 and you done felt this little thing down
and
here,
see what it can do,
you ain't gonna wanna be a girl no more. When you start to see what girls do and what they have to go through and all that kind of stuff, that changes your mind. You're not gonna, once you start enjoying or figuring out
how your
what
body
you
works.
Got going on and how it works and what it how it makes you
because
feel,
you're so young.
It's gonna be a different
and
thing.
And Kelvin, let me just say this on a heterosexual female woman side of things. As a woman who is in her 30s, I'm still discovering who I am sexually and realizing that there are different things that you can touch and you can kiss and, you know, things like that. And so for you to take away those feelings, those God-given feelings that he gave you, those pieces and things, we need to get Kelvin some water.
I'm good.
I feel like we actually need to wait until a certain age.
That's it.
A coming of age.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, that's gonna be on you, Dwayne. Like, you need to, like.
And so I, you know, again, this is the way that he's parenting.
Like, don't push it. Like, I understand you wanna show. Even if, like.
Yeah, like, I mean, still, you know, if he still wants to dress however he dresses, as long as, you know, if it's still somewhat effeminate, but you just ain't wearing, you know, again, it is your job as a parent to lead and to guide.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And so you even, you know, this is pretty extreme. So then
you have to. I'm sorry.
I don't, but I've helped raise other people's children all my life.
Yes.
And I'm the oldest of three.
You seem like you'd be like a good dad.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm the oldest of three boys too.
Oh wow.
And this is the one thing that I've told my nephews. Like, my nephew came to visit me one time and I had all my bags. And I told him, I said, help me with my bags. I know that you're feminine, but at the end of the day,
you are still a man.
And I need your help. And you're gonna come and help you. And he respected that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I feel like
these new age dudes don't even be doing stuff like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Now this is the one thing that I also said, right? I said that we are putting so much emphasis on gay men.
Uh-huh.
Not even gay women. Uh-huh. Because I feel like sometimes we're more accepting of gay
women
than gay men.
Absolutely.
But we put so much
now emphasis. That's another subject to talk about.
Come on now. Because when you're sitting here and telling me that it's okay for two women for a man to watch two women have sex and get off on that, you know, that's an issue for me. that's an imbalance to me. But this is one thing that I have to say about straight young black men. We're putting so much emphasis on the gay ones, but we're losing sight of the straight heterosexual black men that are coming up ain't shit. They don't know how to respect one another. They don't know how to respect a woman. And I said this so many times on my Facebook post. It is sad that I can sit here and say I got a gay husband or I got a gay boyfriend that treats me better than a heterosexual man. That knows how to treat me and respect me the way that I should be respected.
Wait,
no, I've had.
What did you just say?
I have gay husbands. I have gay male best friends that respect me as a woman more than a heterosexual man does.
That's an issue. I got confused too.
That's an issue.
When you say
No, let me just.
Yeah,
you just went into it and we were like.
Well, so like for instance, I have a girlfriend. Actually, I really need to go by her house when I leave here because she lives over here.
Okay.
She says, when she introduces me to her friends, she says, this my other husband. He the husband that goes with me to go shopping, go out to eat, and do all the things that my husband at home doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take it a little bit even further. I put up lights and chandeliers and pictures at their house, and her husband does not.
Where he at, though?
He don't do that kind of stuff.
So okay. What does he
so do? Like even you know.
It don't sound like he do nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, he pays the mortgage,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I guess.
And to be honest,
you know,
when you look at your when you talk about your gay husband or your gay best friend, they're the ones who's going to tell you
needs.
This is how you should, girl. You going to this wedding? You going to this event? You need to go ahead and do a Marcel wave, a red lip, and a Christian Louboutin, bitch. And you're going to go and turn heads at this motherfucking event. Okay, that's what I'm saying. And then I have, like, I went to a concert one day. And when I tell you, this man was so fine. I went to a K. Michelle concert with my niece. And Daly was performing. He was the opening act. And everybody was talking. Like, nobody was paying attention to Daly. I love Daly. So me and this good-looking guy sitting beside me, he was like, I wish everybody would shut the fuck up. And I was like, I know, right? So then he started talking to me. He was like, I love Daly. Then he goes, do you want a drink? And I said, no. I said, I'm fine. I'm good. He was like, let me buy you a drink. I said, no, I'm good. He said, let me tell you something. I'm a man. I'm offering you a drink. I'm not going to put anything in your drink. Number one, I'm a gay man. I don't want nothing that you got. So I'm not trying to roofie you or nothing, but I see you at this concert and you're not drinking. You should have a glass of wine in your hand. He got up and went and got me a glass of wine. And now to this day, we're still very, very close friends. Glenn is one of my very close friends, right? How many times have you gone to a bar, gone to a club, and you see niggas standing on the wall and won't offer you a drink?
I mean,
and just stare at you in the club. How many times?
I mean,
I'm being honest as a woman.
I get bought drink. I get drinks bought for me. But I'm gonna say this: 7 years ago, it was way more than it is now.
Thank you. It's a different climate.
But I still get
it. It's a different climate.
It's different.
And I'm gonna tell you right now: if a man buys you a drink, if he buys you a drink in that club, he want to be right here on you the whole entire night because he bought you that one drink and he feels entitled to your time and to your space.
And like for me,
if I accept
drinks now, I'm real weary of even.
I don't even want to accept drinks from men anymore.
I accept drinks from everyone now because like if he looks good to me or something, I'm like, if in the event that he buys a drink, I can deal with him being kind of in my face a little. But if it's somebody, because people are crazy these days. Like, people have walked out of the club after getting turned down and got shot. So, it's like, I'm real just...
But my whole thing is that... It's a different atmosphere of how men, period.
And also, too, I think men are just tired of it, too.
And it's okay.
And that's fine.
It's okay. But what I'm talking about is a real serious type of thing.
Yeah.
Where we're not teaching our young black males how to dress, how to respect women, how to act. We're not doing that, but we're putting so much emphasis on the ones that want to be who they are. And I feel a certain type of way about that. Go ahead, Mike, because Mike got his little church finger up.
I don't have my church finger up, but I mean, in my house, I teach my son what he needs to do.
Okay.
That is what I do. The men that are in my circle, we do what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't allow the bad stuff or the, you know, that foolishness, people that don't take care of their sons or are not raising their sons in my circle. So that's who.
But Mike, you also have to realize that you're the minority. You raise your son full time. There are not a lot of black men out here that are raising their sons full time.
But that's okay. So with that being said though, Yolanda, that's true. So now we've uncovered that. How do we fix it?
I think that there needs to be more responsible black males in the community that are out here that are willing to take time with not just their sons, but other people's sons. If you see a young black man that's out here being raised by his aunties, his grandmama, his single mom, you need to go and tell this young man how to tie a tie. You need to show this young black man how to open a door for a woman. You need to show this black man what's appropriate. Do you know how many? I just said on my Facebook, I met a man and he wants to invite me to his house, but you don't want to invite me out to eat or to have a coffee, but you want me to automatically come to your house? That's a problem. You weren't taught right.
Mike, get the mic.
And why are you scratching your head, Mike?
Because you went on for a minute, I like to lost my thought. Because you're saying what we need to do, how we fix it is number one, the children matter first. What tends to happen a lot of times is that when a couple is not together anymore, there is resentment one way or the other.
Okay.
When me and my ex-wife split ways, she tried to keep me away from the kids.
Wow.
As a way to get back at me.
Wow.
I hired an attorney. I spent a good bit of money for the state of Georgia to have primary custody of my kids.
Wow.
And even with the mediation that went on, the judge was like, I don't want to sign the mediation. I still had to come to court. She had to say that he is a great father. Yes, I signed off on this.
Really?
Yes.
So the courts didn't even want to. Wow.
It's set up that way.
It is set up that way.
And so what has to happen is that if we know this, then we do kind of like what Monica did with her baby daddies, and they do that shit out of court. This is what we are going to do, so that child, that male child, is raised by the father and the males that are there. Because I see too much of, okay, well, I wish there was a man here, but you're keeping that guy away because, well, we couldn't be together, or we were hurt or whatever. And I see that with guys too, that I don't have anything to do with her, blah 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 blah. Nah, bro, you got a kid there. That child needs you.
Well, and okay, so you know, largely these are societal issues. And so when we always ask about how can we fix it, in my mind, you know, it always goes back to education.
Of course.
And we have to create and start to educate our own people, because you're going to have broken families. You're going to have broken relationships, and you're going to have people who do not understand co-parenting. Mm. So there's so many different ways that we have to address this. So like, as there's a lot of absentee dads, what you have on the other side of the coin that has brought a lot of men to where they are right now, especially in this new generation, is you have women who raise boys and baby boys and not teach them the things that they need to know, or not make it a priority to have a man or a male figure in their life that's going to be like a mentor or someone that's going to be like, hey, bro, no, this is, you know, this is what you need to be doing. It's not what you need to be doing. Like, you have to take that extra effort to find that in your circle, in your tribe. That's why, again, it says that, you know, it takes a village to raise children. Right. You really cannot do it all by yourself.
Right.
And so wherever the deficit is, if you are the caretaker, you're the mother, and you know, the dad is not around, that's your job to find that male figure or male figures that can help your son. Because you can't teach him how to be a man. You can teach him things, but you can't really show him how to be a man, because you are a woman. Right. And innately, there are women, you do things a little bit different. Y'all are more sensitive. You're more inward. You're more, actually, you're smarter. you have a little more intuition than the average man.
Hold on now, Mike.
But you also make a lot of decisions based on emotion. And sometimes that can be a not so great thing. And so on the flip side of the coin, men are less emotional typically. And and boys need to learn that. Then also it's a respect thing. Like, if you ever pay attention to a kid, the response that a little boy has when they hear the bass in a man's voice,
It's different
than mom. The mama might have to say it 2 or 3 times.
Right.
Ain't
right.
That something?
No, I mean, I've noticed that with my nephew.
And a man can say it 1 time and they get it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really all boils down to that, and having that personal responsibility about your own life. But when you think about it in a big number, we have to start educating our own people. We have to create centers. We have to create schools where we're teaching young boys who don't have dads.
So let's get back to young boys that have dads, or young boys who are raised by women that are feminine. How can we get to the point where we can get these church mothers, these mothers that go to church every Sunday, these people who have a certain stigma against gays, how can we bring them in to kind of bridge this gap? Because I still feel like there is a need for us to like kind of unite.
Now, this is just me, and because I don't really have the answer.
I'm tired of it being just the LGBT community versus
us. Well, here's the thing. You know, there's always programs and things that you can do that incorporate. Like, say for instance, one of the things that I did, I produced a show, as you know, because you were a part of it and you helped me. 5 years ago, it's called Freedom and Fantasy. And in Freedom and Fantasy, there was gay, there was transsexual, there were female impersonators, there were heterosexual people, there were children, there were adults, there were white, Mexican, Asian, African-American, African, all of that. Now, let me say this, when I was casting people and hiring people and asking people for help, I wasn't thinking diversity. I was just trying to get the show done.
Right.
And whoever was interested and whoever did a good job, you know, whoever was willing to support me,
they got it.
They got it. So at the end of the night, this guy, Glenn Jackson from DC, somehow or another he got a ticket. He came to the show. He was in the city. He watched the show. He was absolutely amazed. And he came to me at the end of the show and he said, "Do you know what you've done?" And I said, "No, what you mean?" You know, he was like, "You brought all these different people together. And one, everybody was having a good time. It was a great show." He was like, "You know, you can get a grant or a loan, a grant for that. Like, if you, you know," he wanted me to create it into, turn it into like a summer leadership kind of thing. So I said all that to say is like, that event brought heterosexual people together with gay people, with transsexuals, and first of all, some of them didn't even realize that they were transsexual.
Yeah.
But they got a chance to work with them and realize that they are just people and that they are respectful and hardworking just like heterosexual people. So they got a chance to see that there was not really that much of a difference. And who I have to say, shout out to my dad, Mark Myers, who is probably one of the country's backwood people you will ever meet when it comes to that kind of stuff. When I tell you he stood under a lift, and it was a female impersonator standing on the lift, and we needed somebody to wind that lift up in the production.
And your daddy did it.
My daddy did it. And he did that for me. And when I tell you, like, they have full-fledged conversations with my female impersonator friends. And,
yeah, and
you know,
it's
they
gross.
Ask about them. You know, and before that,
it wasn't like that.
No.
It wasn't like that.
So, you know, we take these opportunities to bridge the gap when we can, and that's in our own personal lives, and that was something that I was able to do. So now, even though when I did it, I wasn't aware that I was doing that, I'm very aware of it now, so I try to do it with everything that I do, but on a big scale, because how we really are going to get better is we have to do things on a bigger scale, and that's, again, when it comes to creating education, creating our own schools, creating our own rec centers, creating our own organizations that help to elevate, to help educate and inspire young Black men and women.
Okay. I I'm gonna say this, and then we're gonna take our segment, which is what you ain't finna do. I just wanna say this, is that I think it all comes to a common factor, and that common factor is just respecting one another. When Kelvin had that event, and I was the one that I helped him with a lot of the makeup for his event, and one of the transgendered women was in there, I'll never forget, because the bitch had a deep voice. And I saw her before she was made up as a woman, and I said "he," and she said, no Miss Thing. It's she. And at first I was like kind of taken back, you know, because again, I'm learning. But then I had to respect what she wanted and what she wanted to be called.
Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. I'm sorry. Let's talk about that real quick.
I want to hear.
Because I think a lot of people think that it's like an agenda or something that.
Okay. I want to hear this.
You know, I do believe in respecting people when they want to be called whatever they want to be called, because that's your choice. Mm-hmm. But also, it's also my choice whether I would like to do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I want you to hear this.
I have never heard.
If you're a female impersonator and you're in your whole garb and get up and you look like a girl, you look like a female, or that's your attempt, okay, visually, I could say, okay, well, when she said, what'd she tell you?
She wasn't in her getup. She was like, no, Miss Thing. It's she.
Okay,
or her.
Well, see, and she was having a delusion at that time.
But I could buy it once you say it. If you in the whole situation, then okay, I'm gonna refer to you as a girl because you look, you don't look like nobody's man right now. Okay. So I'm gonna refer to you as a girl. Okay. But if you look like a boy, or if I met, like, say for instance, there's a another makeup artist who I've been knowing for a very long time, and when I met him as Kevin. Okay, your name is Kevin, and you are a full grown man. All right. Now, this is like 20 years ago. So through the years, you've decided that you want to make a transition.
I wish you could make a transition.
Ain't really working. But you haven't made a complete transition. So I say that to say is like you still look like a man by the face. But you wear long nails with sparkles, and you know rings, and you have lots of bracelets, and you might wear flat women's shoes. But then your head, you bald headed, so you. I need you to get the visual, especially because we're on a podcast.
Yes, but I get it. But he still wants to be.
They have a choice.
So. His name, you know, whatever his name is, female name is, he wants to be called that on a regular basis.
Let's call it Sherry.
But I had to tell him.
You're not Sherry.
When I look at you.
I see Kevin. Yeah.
So therefore, that's why I'm calling you Kevin. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. If you want me to start calling you the female name, I need you to put on the hair, the makeup, wear the clothes. And so visually, when I look at you,
I can see.
I can be like, okay.
Sherry.
Right. So don't be doing that. And so whoever that particular female impersonator was that night, they were having an identity crisis. Because, sir.
So hold on. While you're saying identity crisis, what about, do you believe in a certain thing as gender dysmorphia? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you can have body dysmorphia, I think you could probably have gender dysmorphia. If you know, some people look in the mirror and think that they're fat, and they're really not.
They're really okay.
You know what I mean? So really again, nice. That goes. Hello.
Okay.
Somebody. Hello. Somebody.
I just had to throw that out there.
So listen.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
But that goes back to what I'm saying.
Yes.
Even with the body dysmorphia or with the gender dysmorphia, you're having an identity crisis.
Okay, and I get that. And that's where I just really, like, I want us to be real with one another. And I want us to
And I think that that's what is required right now. Like, I feel bad about this whole little Dwayne Wade situation because almost I'm beginning to think that there has been some type of political push because now all of a sudden I see you and this particular child together all the time.
Yes.
And you have two or three other children.
Yes.
Where are they? And yes. What's their scenarios?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Why is this scenario so much more highlighted?
Just like than Magic the rest Johnson's of- son. We know that Magic Johnson has other children, but you know, here's the deal about that.
Now, I can take that because he was almost an adult when he put himself out there like that. You understand what I'm saying? At an age where he was already convinced that he was going to be whatever he was going to be.
Okay.
But if you notice, he's not made a full transition.
He has not.
He's not. He just enjoys being a very effeminate boy dressed in however he's dressed.
Right.
So there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we need to always take that into consideration. There's, you know, little small idiosyncrasies and things that make things a little bit different. It's a talking through and that you have to do. And guys, I think I have been very wordy today. You know, and all of that.
Well, just thank you because right now it's opening a door that I felt like it needs to be open. I felt like me, myself, Ashley, Mike, we couldn't talk on this topic in an educated way because we don't experience these things. So again, thank you for opening this forum so that when we have these discussions again, you can come, bring your friend, and we can just, you know, really get educated more on this because, like I said, we need to bridge the gap.
And even when we don't have these conversations.
Yeah.
Right.
So guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with what you ain't finna do, honey.
Thank you.
guys. So we're at the end. Child, we done talked and talked and talked. But we have what you ain't finna do. But we gonna have a little special edition. So Black History Month is over. However, Black History is 365. So we're gonna have...
No, 365 and one-fourth. Because technically...
Okay, bitch. All right now. All right. Okay. Hey, three-fourths. Whatever. So, Kelvin... You have a reading. Do you want to elaborate on who it is by?
Of course. We got to pay homage.
Okay, so let's do
okay.
it.
Okay, so this is by Toni Morrison. She's one of my favorite writers. And if you haven't heard of her, please look her up. Toni Morrison, you know, she is the author. And she wrote Beloved, the movie that's, you know, pretty popular with Tandy Newton and Oprah Winfrey. But this is a quote by her from one of her writings, and I wanted to share it with you guys. You think because he doesn't love you that you are worthless? You think that because he doesn't want you anymore that he is right? That his judgment and opinion of you are correct? If he throws you out, then you are garbage? You think he belongs to you because you want to belong to him? Don't. It's a bad word, belong. Especially when you put it with somebody you love. Love shouldn't be like that. Did you ever see the way the clouds love a mountain? They circle all around it. Sometimes you can't even see the mountain for the clouds. But you know what? You go up to the top, and what do you see? His head. The clouds never cover the head. His head pokes through because the clouds let them. They don't wrap him up. They let him keep his head up high, free, with nothing to hide him or bind him. You can't own a human being. You can't lose what you don't own. Suppose you did own him. Could you really love somebody who was absolutely nobody without you? You really want somebody like that? Somebody who falls apart when you are out the door? You don't, do you? And neither does he. You're turning over your whole life to him. Your whole life, girl. And if it means so little to you, then you can just give it away. Hand it to him. Then why should it mean any more to him? He can't value you more than you value yourself.
And that is what you ain't finna do, period.
Or are finna do.
But you know, I think that what's so pertinent in this message about love, because I think that love is one of those things that we are so mixed up and confused about. What it really is. But what I get from this is that love is freeing. Mm. Love is not bondage. Love is not owing. You don't possess love. Absolutely. Love is a thing that is its own entity, and you have to abide with love.
All right.
Yeah, you can't own anything or possess anything that you think that you love.
And I get that from what we were just talking about with parents who have children that are gay, that are, you know, lesbians, that are bisexual, that are trans. In order to love your child, you would not bind them. You would not want to conform them into just your box, but you would love them for the person that they are. So I just want to say thank you for being a guest, because we kind of took things out of the norm with Cosmos and Cognac, but thank you for just bringing that word and bringing the wisdom that you brought to today's show. And hopefully you'll come back. Right, guys?
Yes. So. That was good. I just had to post a little quote real fast. That's why I was like...
Yes. Yeah, well, guys, thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with the foolishness. Make sure that you go ahead and you tell everybody about the podcast. And just stay tuned for what we have next. All right, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.
Hey. Bye. Yeah.